This morning, I'm talking about expanding consciousness and transformation. The mission of the mother of Agni Yoga, Helena Rourke, was to give an example of the fiery transformation of the centers as the highest manifestation of light, accessible to every person and above all, to those who respond to the spiritual hierarchy of the planet, especially women whose era Helena Rourke leads. The everyday life of discipleship is about transformation. This is an important point for those of you who see yourselves as a disciple. The discipleship, the everyday life of discipleship, is about transformation. That each day we must seize or create opportunities to bring about personal transformation. For those men and women who are genuinely dedicated to living a life of spiritual advancement, then daily, monthly, yearly, and with each life, transformation is not only possible, it is a necessity. Is that a surprise? Probably not. Transformation means change. We know that. It means change of form. What we may not take into full consideration is that change of form, and that it's going to happen. Change of form is going to happen. How is it going to happen? The person's face changes. Their cells, atoms, and organs change. This is transformation. They adapt themselves to the increasing light of their consciousness. Someday their body will be an exact reflection of their consciousness, just as the bodies of the masters are. Transformation also happens to our emotional body, where the person no longer hates, gossips, or gets angry, because by now they have eliminated any corresponding emotional forms or elements. Transformation on the mental plane starts when the thought forms that are not yet in alignment with our highest visions begin to change. So you see the whole process, physically, emotionally, mentally, all that we were and sustained what we were for that time in our life or that incarnation is now going to change. And that change is because we, before we came into this life, literally before we came into this life, made a commitment to strive toward greater heights. And that striving toward greater heights requires, absolutely requires, transformation. So, transformation of a person's bodies make them need new conditions, meet the new conditions. Pay attention. I'm trying to, you know, really drive the point here of the power of transformation and its need, because it makes our bodies meet with new conditions, the need of new conditions, new demands, which come from where? Our expanding consciousness. We can't say we have an expanded consciousness if we don't have the bodies that will meet the needs of that expanding consciousness. Typically, the transformational process is difficult. Because why? It requires a new alignment and new adjustment, which initially is going to affect your health. and other challenges affecting your physical etheric body. These adjustments and alignments usually take place within the smaller size within a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, but the adjustment can take 3 to 4, 5, or even 6 years. And it also asks you to make some changes to your day-to-day life, allowing a more straightforward process to take place. Most of us aspire to be of substantial service to our family, our group, and our spiritual community, and eventually to be of significant service on a global level. But it must be more than a dream, for to bring such dreams and aspirations into reality, we must be prepared. Transformation brings opportunities for continuing and successful service. I remember one day when I was over at the Aquarian Educational Group Center in Sedona, and the leader of that group, Torkum, had been frustrated by the wishes of a young man who wanted to sing a solo in front of everybody. And so one day he, being Torkum, decided, okay, we're going to let him come up here and sing just so everybody can hear what he is not. That's my paraphrase. So the young man went up there. First of all, he turned stone cold. He was so afraid. He was so frightened that not one word would come out of his. See, he was not prepared. He had the desire, he had the wish, but he was not prepared. So preparation is required. Transformation brings opportunities. It brings us opportunities for a continuing service, for a successful service. It is good to have information and knowledge. It is good to have wealth. But if we do not have transformation, we use all that we have against our future. Isn't that interesting? That we have knowledge, that we can have information, we can have health, wealth, and health. Health and wealth. But if we do not have a transformation, we use all that we have against our future. For example, you may have observed those situations where your family or your friends or even co-workers started with a desire and dreams of helping others, even to serve others, which gradually turned that dream into a selfish gratification for personal power, for self-interest, because they had not undergone transformation. The consciousness had not expanded. They did not take advantage of the opportunities that were given to them. And so over time, that desire turned into a dream of selfish gratification for personal power and selfish interest. So they could take that information, take the knowledge, take their wealth, but they're using it against their future and the future of others because they were not prepared. This action always destroys any opportunity for engaging in genuine service because this behavior disallows for any change. It obstructs the release of light from the person's consciousness, and so they remain the same. Isn't that interesting? Don't you hear yourself say, how could that person be in the teaching for so long and have that attitude or behave in that manner? Now we know. Ego and vanity cause the person to misuse their knowledge, their information, and misuse their wealth. We must observe these things. A lack of transformation of their bodies made them unable to meet the need of new conditions and new demands. We see examples where even though a strong motivation was evident to serve others, where the motivation seemed to be a predominant factor, even a predominant factor in their life, the transformation did not occur because they were not prepared. The individual's physical, emotional, and mental health failed to support their work. Some of us are watching the PBS program on Benjamin Franklin. If you haven't had that opportunity, go into your, I don't know if it's on the internet or not, but if you have PBS, a PBS station, try to find when that program is scheduled. Why? This man never stopped engaging in change and adjustment to the need of opportunity coming to him. Rest was not part of his vocabulary. He was not particularly, you know, a handsome man. He was not particularly a wealthy man, but he had prepared himself in such a way that as that light was released in his consciousness and his consciousness was broadening, he adapted to that new rhythm, that new cycle, the need. And look at here, he's been gone for a long time, and everybody knows who this man is and what he did. You know, he had the fiery spirit. He was prepared. If the person has the desire to be of service, to be great, but his physical, emotional, and mental health fails to support their work, limitations in karma will prevent them from meeting the needs of the new conditions. So we don't have the right to say, oh, it's our karma. We have the right to say, let me tackle my karma. Let me pay the debt, dissolve it, so I can be prepared to meet the needs of the new conditions, new demands of service. Transformation of our bodies is an absolute requirement to be a successful disciple and servant of the plan of hierarchy. Here's a story. A hermit wished to progress further in his training in the matter of silence. And not trusting himself, he patiently and firmly bound his mouth. One day he saw a child on the edge of a cliff, but he didn't succeed in removing the complicated bandage quickly enough to warn of the danger. By the time he unbound his mouth, the child had already been carried away by the current. Not in invented bonds lies achievement. Only then do we attain when we cannot but do. He who does not, because he can achieve nothing. Thus it is in human and in spiritual existence. In addition to not doing shameful things, one must also consider why such doings are inadmissible. Thought must be at work. In such creativeness, the force of thought is needed. Evolution without thought is impossible. So transformation occurs when the higher ethers replace at least 50% of the lower ethers. As a person's dense body absorbs more etheric substance, higher etheric substance, and releases more physical atoms, releases these old physical atoms, it becomes more etheric and more powerful and more beautiful. So, as you can see, transformation is a process. To make your bodies compatible with your expanding consciousness and the demands of that expanding consciousness, you must go through the process of transformation. 50 years ago, an IBM electric typewriter efficiently served our needs of writing papers and statistics for research projects. Today, that electric typewriter cannot possibly meet the present conditions. Yet some people still use the style they used with an IBM typewriter with a computer. And it doesn't work. It's because they haven't clicked that little paragraph sign. That, if you know Microsoft Word, I don't know Mac, so I don't know whether Mac has a document maker like that or not. But with Microsoft Word, there's this little paragraph symbol across the top. And if you click on that symbol, it's going to show you all the behind the scenes activity. And you're going to see a person that doesn't know how to format their plain document, or maybe just a letter, and they have all these dots going over here to start a new paragraph. Or to go from one line to the next, you have dots and dashes and all kinds of weirdness going on. Whereas when you unclick that paragraph symbol, you can't see. So it's just a matter of taking your time programming your document to make the right format, and then it's perfectly, and it doesn't make you look like an IBM Selectric typewriter. Similarly, most of our emotional and mental equipment is obsolete. It's outdated. And when we try to use that equipment in the modern world, we create chaos and prevent our progress. Suppose your physical, emotional, and mental natures are not able to actualize even a quarter of the creativity of your expanding consciousness. In that case, it means that there's going to be a friction between your bodies and your consciousness. This friction will result in pain and suffering. For example, if the person's consciousness tells them that sharing is better than greed, their personality will not be able to agree with the light of their consciousness. There is going to be an argument that sharing is going to decrease my bank account. It's going to decrease my income. Unless we transform our personality, we will not be able to follow the lead of our expanding consciousness. Last month's Agni Yoga conference asked not for a specific amount of money to register, but to donate according to the whisperings of their heart. In such situations, we found some people were arguing with themselves. Well, you know, I really would like to give more, but if I do, then that's going to lessen my income. Yeah, no, I can't do that. So giving what the argument convinces you to share rather than what the whisperings of your heart told you to share. It's a very interesting experience to observe. I mean, I've certainly seen that in myself, but I've seen the opposite also. I guess I can remember, oh, this is back when the kids and I were babies, and we were sitting in church, and I had 5 cents to my name, literally 5 cents. And here my two babies are sitting next to me, and they pass the, you know, offering plate around, and I thought, oh my God, okay. And I took the nickel out of my pocket and I put it in the offering plate. I know, you know, and actually later the church admonished me for only donating 5 cents. They had no idea what I had. Also, no idea that was going to happen that week. I got a check for $50 from an in-law. I mean, talk about, you know, multiplying. See, so when I gave that 5 cents, I thought, you know, you guys can do much more with this nickel than I can. And I certainly learned what that meant. One of the primary means of transformation is the ability to love. The fire of love has a real power to transform people, their body, emotions, and thoughts. The more we love, the more we help people transform their lives. Real love is to give expression to our inner divinity. Now that's a pretty profound statement. Real love is to give expression to our inner divinity and evoke the divinity in others so that it manifests itself. This is why we had the meditation this morning. The greater self reveal itself in us. The innermost divinity within us is the highest potential within us. To love means manifesting our highest potentials in all fields of human endeavor and offering them in service to humanity. Unless we offer the highest that we have or are, then our love is not love. Such a love cannot cause transformation. Your love must be evocative. It must call forth the highest in others. The more we truly love, the more evocative our love becomes. Love for ordinary people is sexual, emotional, personal, or sentimental. I mean, we know that. You know, that's where the consciousness of the masses is at present. When they define love, they define it certainly, you know, within their own nature as sexual, emotional, personal, or sentimental. Such kind of love may cause some powerful experiences, but in the new world, the understanding of love is going to be different. It will be the worship of divinity within others and ourselves. No one can love without transforming himself. To be able to love, we need to develop what we call the higher virtues, the virtues of the chalice, the inner chalice. We need to stop being selfish. We must learn to sacrifice ourselves and to protect and serve others. All these steps urge the person to transform him or herself by leaving behind whatever is limiting and selfish or separative, and then develop expansion. And selflessness. Immortality and survival belong to those who know how to love, share, sacrifice, and renounce and to forget themselves in love for others. Transformation makes us sensitive to higher impressions. I mean, this is so beautiful. When you experience the transmission of higher impression, it is oftentimes gives the effect of bliss, of feeling bliss. It makes you into something and being somebody you never knew was possible, but maybe a dream someday, you know, you would be this way or that way. It makes you sensitive. Transformation makes you sensitive to higher impressions, love currents, even health-giving currents. Transformation enables us to assimilate these currents. Transformation gives us the power to be creative and to use all that we receive. Excuse me, I'm distracted. We all have allergies here. Well, not everybody, but most of us. And we want to use all that we receive and then assimilate. Reception, assimilation, and creativity. Those are the three key words. Reception, assimilation, and creativity are the gifts of the process of transformation. As reception, assimilation, and creativity. Transformation expands the number of resources of your impressions. You hear that? It expands the number of resources of your impressions. For example, instead of a few channels, your TV in the past, like I can remember back in the day, we had the potential of receiving 8 channels, but we could only see one, right? Now, we have from 100 to 500, 600, 700 channels, although you have to, you know, subscribe to all 700 of them. And who has the time? But there's, the idea is this, we want to receive pro-survival channels. We went, and believe me, that first channel I saw when Mom and Dad bought their first TV was boxing. I kid you not, that's what it was. It was a boxing. Everybody would gather together in their friend's house just so they could watch boxing. It's gruesome. Anyway, so we want to receive pro-survival channels for ourselves, our family, our group, the nation, and the planet. Transformation is a process to bring the personality bodies to their maximum capacity of reception, assimilation, and creativity. How do we begin to see the need for change? The first step is observation. When you see that you are not so beautiful, then you have a chance to make yourself beautiful. When you see that you are hurting and harming others, then you have an opportunity to develop harmlessness. When you see that you are acting under the slavery of your prejudices and traditions, your vanity and ego and ignorance, then you have a chance to develop freedom. But you must have pure observation to observe these things. In Japanese kabuki, actors wear masks to portray their character's state of being. Throughout many lifetimes, a person wears many masks. Masks that hide their feelings and thoughts. Masks that hide what they truly are. Behind the mask, a person can pretend to be something they are not, or to know things that they do not really know, or they can fool themselves into thinking that they are really nothing. The greatest mask is the one that hides a person from him or herself, the true self. Once a person places their foot on the spiritual path, the journey to find out who they genuinely are must begin. Christ called the enemy of transformation the larger door which leads to death. This is so important, and I'm sorry to have stumbled over my words. Let me repeat it here. Christ called the enemy of transformation the larger door which leads to death. That's the enemy of transformation. The larger door is all those influences that turn our direction toward the involutionary path. The enemy of transformation. We turn to the retrogressive path in obeying our blind urges and drives, our negative emotions, vanities, and ego. If you aspire to experience transformation, you have a supreme duty to recognize those who are leading humanity to the larger door that takes us to the involutionary path. Try to recognize those enemies of transformation, such as irritation, hatred, fault-finding habits, ingratitude, and worry. Isn't that interesting? Worry. Such elements in one's nature prevents them from carrying out the process of transformation and will bind them to the world's ever-changing phenomenon. Involving ourselves with such elements wastes time and energy, wastes our health, our wealth, ruins our health, and we lose our focus. The process of transformation needs focus. It would help if you had specific times for concentration on the process of transformation. Specific times, set aside 5 minutes, specific time for concentration. And during that time, dedicate your time to transformation, so as to gradually increase to such a degree that in all the hours of day, you firmly and consciously pursue the process of transformation, the labor of transformation. Agni Yoga teachings caution that the person must always bear in mind that all the great teachers are concerned with the inner life of the person whose consciousness is in the sphere of motives and thoughts, that no Agni Yoga student needs mechanical aids nor any physical exercises, and their only consideration is a concentration on the chosen great ideal, on the unwavering and constant striving to approach it. Such concentration must continue unceasingly. Whatever such a disciple is doing, his or her thought is always occupied by their ideal. Everything is performed in the name of this ideal, and they always feel in their heart the love and presence of this image. This is the real concentration indicated by the teaching, which deals only with the inner world. A word of caution: some unknowingly think that shifting to living a life illumination will be instantaneous, and such a shifting results in transformation. But Agni Yoga points us to the centers, to the development of the centers, to kindling the higher fiery centers and setting them in motion. The process of the regeneration of the body is long, it is uncomfortable, and it can be painful at times. Such experiences can be learned by studying the life of Helena Rourke. In this transformational process, the person gives birth to a body of light shining with the fires of their ignited centers. One needs to know that the centers can awaken with pain and discomfort, oftentimes causing physical suffering, and as such, transformation must be undergone slowly and gradually, oftentimes over several lifetimes. For the process of transformation to occur, special conditions are sometimes needed, such as a peaceful environment. During certain cycles, they will need to remove themselves from the outer noisy life of city living and move to smaller, quieter communities with as little pollution as is possible. The person will need clean mountain air. They should also establish a regimen of healthy nutrition. A lot of things are needed, and the process can be challenging if the changes needed are dramatic. It is possible to reverse the course of your striving and backslide. For example, when a person slanders or tries to stop or intervene in the lives of those who have dedicated themselves to spread the teaching, the light, and beauty, that person builds a dark karma that years later prevents the slanderer from entering into the light until the consequences of the deed are paid. But it is possible to continue on the path of transformation even with a heavy karma on your shoulders, if your heart dwells in compassion, gratitude, and forgiveness, and a firm decision to go ahead on the path of transformation in spite of conditions. The teaching explains that on the path of your transformation, one must have a love of their teacher who stays with us in all conditions, even risking himself in some instances. As long as you carry love in your heart towards your teacher, you will never be left without help, except in cases of treason. The teaching tells us that treason cuts the silver cord between the traitor and the teacher. And let me close with this. One of our greatest assets is a heart devoted to the hierarchy, with a deep trust that the hierarchy is especially interested in all those who are consciously doing or daring to enter the path of transformation. Consciously daring to enter the path of transformation. So I hope I've shared some new components about what the path of transformation is all about. Mm-hmm.